Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their big drums.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. As an introduction, or as we begin this, I'm always amazed. I don't know if you guys have this experience, but every time I have the Lord kind of direct me to begin to study certain things in the Scripture, I'm always grateful by the end of it of how God forms me to see things from His perspective and how just encouraging and refreshing it is. And so I've been on a journey. I've been sharing it with you guys as I've been coming. Last December, I was just waiting on the Lord during the month of December. It's kind of a slow month for travel. And so I was just waiting on the Lord and kind of getting His heart for what He wanted me to focus on throughout this year. And He kind of went into the concept of Ephesians, and specifically, what is the church? Think about it with me real quick. The term that's used back in the time when Jesus was talking about the church, or when they were writing the epistles, is different than the way we look at it today. We've had 2,000 years of what we believe the term church means. And so it's usually a building we go to. And in that building, that's where we worship the Lord, and we have nice lights and monitors and all that other stuff. The way it was used back in the day when Jesus lived is that when kings wanted to rule, they would call their governing governors together, and they would have an assembly. And out of that assembly, the king would decree what he wanted to happen in the nation that these governors were to execute or perform. So the term for church isn't, we usually say, well, it's usually just a gathering place of worship. But the term itself from the New Testament is it's actually an assembly of the governing body on this planet. So the church is the governing institution on this planet. Well, with that picture, now you have the Apostle Paul coming to the concept of the church, and now he's working through the book of Ephesians. He's saying, now, what has been on the heart of God when this idea of this governing body, what is God wanting us to know, and how is this to enhance our life and change the way we see our identity in Christ? And there are seven pictures of the church in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to name a couple, but we're going to focus very specifically here in Ephesians chapter 2. So some of the terms that Paul begins to develop or talk about is first one I just described is the church is the assembly. We are not a people that come to a building. We are the assembly. So it doesn't matter where we're at. Whenever we gather, we are, in God's eyes, the church. We are His assembly, His people. We're also considered to be an army. And so in God's eyes, here we are the governing body, but we're the ones that God has called to actually deal with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places so that the blessing of God will come to the cities that we live in. And a lot of people don't like that. They think, well, demons and spiritual warfare, I don't really like it. But in my opinion, I think that one of the blessings God has given us is what we call the blessing of battle, learning our identity, that we can actually deal with evil, that it just is not allowed to do just whatever it wants, and we can't respond to it. I am very grateful for that. We also see that God has called the church to be the bride of Christ. And the idea of this mystery that we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ in the true sense, the body of Christ is, and that He reflects it through human relationship and the roles that men reflect to women and the roles that women reflect to men, and this idea that God wanted when the church comes together of reflecting healthy relationships by both genders is just a powerful concept. We also have the idea that the church in the book of Ephesians is a family. God has called us to learn what functional wholeness looks like as we gather. Now, does that almost sound kind of funny? Because a lot of times we find that There are things that we do when we gather. There are people that we just don't get along with or we don't know how to have relationship with. And yet God calls us to come into a room or wherever we gather and learn how honor and wholeness actually happen so that we can develop a place of modeling this. So think about it. The two highest forms of relationship that God gives the human race, marriage and families, he's called the church to represent that. Not just be called that, but actually be the representation of this is what it looks like in eternity, and he wants a reflection of it on the planet, and he's doing it through our lives. And then we find out that, and this is what we're going to look at here today, we are considered the temple. Isn't that amazing? The church is considered now the temple. Now, that would have actually been a radical concept back in the time Paul wrote this, because you have Jewish people that are going to the temple. And if you guys have ever done any kind of study on the temple, remember, it wasn't just the idea that they had this unbelievable building with all this material in it, and it took like 40 or 50 years to build. That wasn't the idea. It was a dwelling place where the glory of God was manifest, and you could actually go there. The idea was I was going to go there and meet God. Well, now the way Paul's going to begin to develop it as we look at it is, now, instead of needing to go to a place to meet God, God has decided that he is going to come to us. And that same thing they experienced in the Old Testament is going to be a living dynamic for us every day, because God has made us, the church, his temple. So look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, being built on the foundations of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now, in the Hebrew mindset, here Paul's writing, he's a Jewish man, Hebrew mindset, the word for house, these words that we have for houses here in Ephesians, beit, that's the Hebrew word, it actually includes the idea of any type of building structure is a building for a home. It's the idea of all these places are for families to gather. And so when he's beginning to talk about this idea that we are the temple, buildings are not just to be things that we design and marvel at in the Hebrew mindset. Buildings are functional, and that's where families meet, and they develop wholeness in families. And so when it uses the word to build, it doesn't mean just build a building. It actually means to build a people. In God's eyes, if we are the temple of the Lord, the idea of being the temple is, since God is a father, he has a family. When we build and wherever we gather, that's not the focus. It's when we gather together, the idea is he is building us into a family. God is building us into a family. And that was the idea. You guys, this is the distinction, I believe, of what we call the wrong expression of walking with God. A lot of people throw the term out, false religion or being religious or legalistic, is turning the things that God calls healthy into dysfunction. And one of them is focusing on the idea of worship instead of what is the purpose of worship. Purpose of worship is to connect with God and love the family he's placed me in, not just to glorify in whatever we design or we build. And so the perversion or the twisting of it is trying to make it about the place instead of the people in the place. God is very much into you because these structures that we do now have in the day and age we live in, the Bible is very gracious to tell us they're not going to last forever. But you will. You're what God invests his time, his grace, his love into. You're the focus of his attention, and he is building a house, a family. And so when it's using the idea that we become the place of God, the dwelling place of the temple is the idea of God is going to call us together as a group of people, and he is going to dwell with us as a father and build a family. That's the height of the idea of God making us a temple in the New Testament. So it's used five times here, just in this small passage, five times the term for building. and temple and foundations. It's all this term is pointing to the fact this is a continual work that God is doing in our lives. And if you guys look at the passage real quick, go back to it. When people interpret this, I don't know if you guys ever look at this, but when they look at the idea of the house here, and they look at the idea that God lays a foundation of apostles and prophets, as I hear people interpret this, they're really fascinated about the building structure. And some groups say, well, this is actually a historical thing. We don't have apostles or prophets anymore because God has laid the foundation with them, and then the church age has gone on from that. The only problem with those kind of abilities interpretation is they're wrong if you read the book of Ephesians, because the book of Ephesians is talking about people, not structures. Even though it's using structural language here, these are we and the Lord are living. And so the Lord is the cornerstone of this household. He is alive. He's the head of the church. He's the person we relate to. And he builds a foundation, and it's not a historical foundation. It's a relational foundation of apostles and prophets so that they can point you to connect with the cornerstone. Do you guys get it? It's a relational reality that God is talking about, not just the concept of a building reality, even though he's using building concepts here. So the body of Christ, the idea of how does God build this temple is with us. That's why the scripture begins to use the idea that you and I are living stones. You guys have heard that term thrown out. You're living stones. And so what's the process that God takes us through? As believers, I actually believe that this idea is God is actually molding us in our relationships to actually fit together. Now, you guys like I am, when I recognize that God is trying to make me fit with someone that I don't connect with, I find that there's a rubbing effect. And if I go through the process of submitting through the rubbing effect, not only do we learn to fit together, I can actually begin to see a person from the Lord's perspective. Several years, well, now it's been almost, 15 years ago, I was allowed to go to Cuba. And Cuba is a kind of a fun place to go because it's a communist nation, and as Americans, you're not really allowed to go there, so you have to go to the Bahamas first and then fly in. And they make it their right to make sure that they harass you as you come in as Americans because you still have to use your passport to get in. I had some water damage on my passport when I arrived, and so the guy behind the desk who spoke Spanish, and he knew I couldn't speak Spanish, yelled at me for 20 minutes, and then he made me go sit in the corner and wouldn't let me go through the gate to get through. And so the team that I was with are praying for me. Is he going to make it? Is Brian going to be in a concentration camp the rest of his life? And, you know, I was kind of wondering that too. I thought, wow, I'm going to be in a prison the rest of my life. This is going to be kind of fun. And so they finally let me through. And then they run me to this car. They throw me in this car and they drive down all these roads. And then they throw me in another car, and we go do the same thing, and finally we're at the meetings. So I wasn't really excited to be in Cuba, as that was the beginning of it. But I found that the trip in Cuba was really exciting because the team I went with, none of us got along with each other. It's funny, every meeting we went to, the person would preach, whoever was the teacher that afternoon, and then we'd actually leave the stage and minister to people, and then as we'd come among the people on the team, we'd start fighting with each other in the car all the way back to where, and we got so mad at each other by the third day that we just stopped talking to each other. And we'd arrive at this house that we were staying in, and everyone would go to their own individual bedroom, lock the door so that they couldn't talk to the other people, and stay in there until it was the time for the next meeting. And then we realize, well, Jesus isn't like this, so we need to sit down and resolve this. So what did we do? We sat in a room, and we yelled at each other for over 2 hours, and not only did it not get any better, it got worse. So fun. What a fun trip. And one of the guys that at that time I was traveling with, a gentleman that I still do stuff with periodically, he was with me on the trip, and we were sharing this bedroom with these beds. And he pointed at me and he said, it was so bad, we couldn't even get along. If you ever invite me on a ministry trip with these people again, I'll kill you. That's how it ended up. Does that sound like a great? Okay, how does this have anything to do with anything? So, couple of exciting things happened to me. After I got done with the trip, when we landed in the Bahamas, I never do this kind of stuff. I got off the plane, got on my knees, and kissed the ground. I was so grateful to be off that missions trip. I actually felt like it was a great deliverance. And I had actually made an inner vow. I don't ever want to see any of these people ever again. Ever. So what happened? One of the main people that I actually really didn't like, everywhere I went, he started appearing. You guys ever had this experience? So now I'm going to this person, I'd never seen him. Chris probably would know who I'm talking about. We all went to the same church together. I'd never seen him ever until I went on this mission trip. And then I come home and everywhere I go, there he is. Go to the gym, there he is. I'm like, when did you? I'm trying to figure out. I go to the grocery store, there he is. In fact, one time I saw him at the grocery store. I wanted to make sure I didn't run into him. I ran to the other side of the grocery store to stay away from him. And this isn't just once in a while. I'm talking to you about every day. I was actually getting afraid to leave my house after a while because I knew I was going to run into this person who says they know Jesus, and I didn't know how to resolve the fact that I actually couldn't get along with him, and I didn't want to try to resolve it. So in the process of this, I started praying about it. Does that sound like a good thing to do? And my prayers were not godly. They were more like, God, could you flatten his tire? Don't hurt him. Just make sure we don't run into each other. And it seemed like the more I kept praying that God would resolve, and it was always his problem. If you just deal with him and that kind of stuff, the more I kept praying about it, the more I kept running into him. In fact, I remember staying home for 2 days straight just to make sure I wouldn't run into this person. It was that bad. So as I'm processing through this and praying about it, I'm not getting resolved. And all my prayers were focused on, God, you really need to change this person. I mean, you really need to change this person. Does this sound familiar to any of you guys? And as I'm doing that, I'm not getting any breakthrough. I'm being stressed out about it. It's bugging me. I'm kind of frustrated with myself that now the Lord is kind enough to show me through an experience that I actually am not as mature as I thought I was in relationships. You know, it's easy to think it's easy to think you're mature in relationships when you don't relate to anybody. So now I'm frustrated with myself. I'm frustrated with the situation. I'm trying to get counsel, and everything that everybody's saying to me, it's not working. And I just give up finally, get on my knees before the Lord, and I just said, Lord, I mean, how do I say this? I actually hate this person. What am I to do? And as I'm telling God, like he doesn't know this kind of stuff, the Lord just kind of stops me. Now, if you guys have never had this kind of encounter, I hope you do consistently. But God filled me with his love. And then out of the wisdom of the Lord, he just kind of started a conversation with me of, Brian, you don't see him the way I do. And then I was amazed by this. God started coming and telling me how this person that I could not get along with, how he grew up to be this person that I actually despised. Now, that's kind of interesting. He came from a broken family. He's been abused. He's never been nurtured. And God is now telling me all this stuff. And every time he gives me another insight into how this person became this way, my heart is being changed to love him. Because I was able to get outside of just my emotions, and that person's hard to relate to, and I was able to look at it from their perspective and where their life has come from. And as God began to do that, this idea finally hit my soul. There's some passages in scriptures that I read, and I don't know how they fit. When God started showing me his perspective of his son, that I was actually supposed to learn to relate to, when God was doing that, I started realizing the scripture where it said that we're to know each other after the Spirit. And I thought that just meant, well, we all know each other because we have the Spirit. That's not what that means. That means that I have to get God's perspective on how he sees you for me to love you properly. And all this stuff that I was going through, this squeezing that the Lord was doing, this causing me to become fitted with another person, God was teaching me a valuable lesson to stop relating to people, especially his family, based on my perception, but his love. And so now when I get among people, and we still have to learn how to fit together, there's always going to be some kind of thing that Jesus is working on in our relations with each other. I don't walk into it by how much does that person bother me or how much my emotions are irritated by it. I really try to get before the Lord and say, share your love with me about my brother and sister or your son and daughter. And this is amazing to me. God is faithful to do that if you'll apply that principle. Let me see that person from your perspective. Because God wants us to know them after the Spirit. So, for individuals, since we're considered to be these living stones and living together, what is it that God actually requires of you and I in this idea? Well, because the idea is we're to be shaped and fitted, the idea of being shaped and fitted into living stones carries two concepts. One is I'm shaped into becoming who God calls me to be, and then I learn by being fitted together how to walk with people in that. Would you guys admit there's nothing more frustrating than knowing that God has put something on your heart, but you have to do it alone? You don't walk with a group of people. Well, that's not God's intention. That's not what God has wanted. God has wanted us to find out who we are in Christ individually and yet come into relationship with each other and become a community that actually encourages one another and literally fits and focuses each other to become all that God wants us to become. And that's what God was originally intended. It is he wanted us to learn how to be shaped into this. And so God allows a refining process to go on in the body of Christ. And if you guys are like me, I have this immature view of what it meant to come into a building with a group of people on a weekly basis. Since God has called us to be transparent and holy as a group of people, this is the environment where the stuff that we have unresolved comes to the surface intentionally by the Spirit of the Lord. And so that means where we can hide it and fake it in the culture, God doesn't want that when we come amongst each other. In fact, one of the main values that I actually got when I first started coming to the cross, did you guys ever do this? I used to just be judgmental and hard on everybody. I'm just like, what a mess everybody is. Like, I could never look at myself. Just like this whole group of people, all this immaturity, and how do we ever resolve anything? And boy, the Lord really, again, in a series of things, began to really start dealing with me. And it came through a ministry of the Vineyard Movement. I was in the Vineyard Movement for a while. And one of the main values they had that I had never seen in any other church I went to was they had a value of transparency, which meant the leaders would stand up and on a consistent basis tell everybody all the messes they were involved in. Now, think about that. Most of the time we come into the building, we try to put our best face forward and act like we're strong in the Lord and we have no problems. These guys modeled. I used to feel sorry for my pastor. I thought, gosh, what a mess. He's even such a mess. Again, this was intentional so that God would make me start looking at myself and get honest with a group of people so that we could walk actually in relationship with each other. So I actually believe that's one of the keys God did to actually set me free from really an immature place, is that when we come together, it's not the events, it's the relationships and the transparency of being fitted together that God is looking for. You know, there's some stuff that they do in Catholicism that I think they kind of hit the nail on the head, and I think sometimes the Protestant Reformation has left some of this stuff that's in beneficial. So let's see if I can present this when we talk about being fitted together. They have a standard of confession that I believe the Protestants need to come back into, in the sense that our relationships just aren't, hey, how are you doing this weekend, or, you know, did you watch the football game? I think it's a place where God has called us to become, as a family, people that are transparent with each other and become confessors, be honest with each other as we're in relationship. Now, we might not be able to do it when we gather here, but there should be this relationship that's going on that I'm with a group of people, and they become, in a sense, not only my family, but they become priests to me, where we relate and live our lives together. Think about this. You could tell where you're at with your family by how transparent you are. You could tell where you're at with your family and what God's doing by how much you want to be with them and reflect love to them. And this is the process that God is doing with us when he's called us to be fitted together. He's called, literally, if you think of this fitting that God's talking about, he's saying that there are going to be, if we're talking about living stones, there are going to be stones under you, stones beneath you, and stones above you. And that points to a relational reality. There are going to be people in your life that need you as a living stone and their living stones to come and lift them up. There are going to be people that you actually are in what we call, you're not lifting them up, you're just in companionship with them and you're reflecting healthy relationship. And then there's always going to be people that have walked longer with the Lord and their job is to lift you up. That's the idea that God has when it comes to the idea of us being the temple of God as the church. All right, let's turn our attention and let's pray to the Lord. Father, I thank you that out of your word you've called us to be this reality. You're building us and fitting us together. And sometimes the weariness of being in relationship, and all of us are at a different maturity level, would you give us an ability to see each other after the Spirit? Begin to look at each other and let your love flow in us and through us for each other. Any weariness that is among my brothers and sisters here this morning, would you bring a refreshing of your goodness and a refreshing of your love to us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Teach us the reason you've called us to be here meeting with each other. And I bless you, Lord, and I thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.